Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we're... Wow, this was crazy.
Just a little bit. Tuesday.
Oh, it's Tuesday. Can I believe it's Tuesday already?
I can. I'm happy.
Tuesday. Oh. And we got a long weekend coming up. Oh, it's going to be nice. And girl, it was 115 flipping degrees here yesterday.
I was in the nice, cool, quiet, carefully conditioned truck of mine.
Very nice.
Ah, Jesus. It's very nice. You missed out on a whole lot of stuff. The snow has been having a good time.
I know. I've been gone. I feel like I've been gone like a month or something. Ow. Sorry.
I've been gone a month in gamer time.
I know. It was so sad. And it was just horrible. It was like, wow. But no, but I'm back for, you know, a couple of days at least. And I'm so happy to be back. Love to be back. I missed all you guys. Mwah!
Did y'all miss Ginger?
No, they didn't miss me. They're like, Ginger who? They're like, who? No, we want Snow back. And Snow's got the whole sexy voice going on, so I can't blame them at all.
Well, she wasn't that sexy in the morning time. You know, she tries to, she has to tone it down.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to see how many F-bombs she dropped during the day.
Huh? What happened? Oh, yeah. Oh. For a minute. Okay, so... Wow. Good morning. We've already said that, but I just want to say it again. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. I am somebody. I don't know who I am today.
I am... kind of bouncing off the walls. Are you excited about the ruling from yesterday?
We were very excited. We did announce it on the non-streaming portion, so if you didn't hear that, you have to listen. But yes, we were very, very excited about the ruling. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing when democracy does it.
Good try, California, but the rest of us who are not flipping crazy... are laughing this morning. We're like,
we're not
guess which fingers we're pointing.
So there's other news going on, of course, in the world. That was the big news. We kind of played it down, but
that is big news. That is big news. What? You know what, Schwarzenegger? Ha ha, we win, you don't. Go back to making your bad movies.
Well, he's out of office, so whatever. Blaster was trying to get a hold of me to say something. He wants to play it down. So y'all can deal with him whenever he writes whatever it is he's writing, because he's got this whole mad scientist thing going on in my IMs. I don't know what it's about, but yeah. But there's other things going on. We got some good, there's a lot of news this morning. Where to start?
You know what? Let me go ahead and start. I've got news.
Yeah, you got stuff. We got stuff.
You COD fans, we've got news for you. Call of Duty Black Ops Annihilation now available on Xbox Live. Oh, yes. All new map pack.
Ooh. Yeah, that too.
Map pack and gripping zombie experience set to annihilate Xbox gamers today. Call of Duty Black Ops, the best-selling game ever on the Xbox 360 today, unleashes a new onslaught of combat with a fresh delivery of downloadable content, Call of Duty Black Ops Annihilation. Available now worldwide on Xbox Live, Annihilation delivers four new multiplayer maps and a mind-blowing zombie experience for the ultimate online showdown. Annihilation is the third downloadable content pack released for Activision and Treyarch in support of the worldwide phenomenon and record-setting Call of Duty Black Ops. Fueled by the breakthrough First Strike and Escalation content packs, the blockbuster title is recognized for having the highest-selling add-on content in Xbox Live history, according to Microsoft. The Annihilation content pack's new maps include Hangar 18, located in the highly classified military base of Area 51, where gamers will fight through experimental weapon labs, the SR-71 test hangar, and a mysterious autopsy room. That sounds awesome. All right, the next one is Drive-In, where players experience close-quarters combat through a 1960s American drive-in theater, complete with a snack shack and a classic arcade. Silo, where in-game... Silo, where in-gamers can infiltrate a massive secret Soviet nuclear missile site under construction with a multi-level battleground. And I was like, what am I reading here? Why is that making sense in my head?
Yeah, definitely.
Blonde moment sometimes. Hazard, located on the cliffside of Cuba, gamers can explore a coastal golf course fit for a dictator, where stocked clubhouses and manicured fairways meet snipers hidden in sand traps.
Okay.
And lastly, we have Shangri-La. The all-new zombie experience transports players into a mythical paradise overrun with the undead. Our heroes will come face-to-face with a new species of zombies and navigate through a treacherous labyrinth of underground caverns, all set within a legendary shrine lost in an exotic jungle. Ah, that sounds like fun. You know I love killing me some zombies, so yeah, that sounds like so much fun.
It is all about the zombie love here.
Mm-hmm. I love me some zombie love.
Mm. Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Well, here's some good, well, it's not really good news. This is kind of scary, actually. There's some rumblings going on that they believe a microtransactions console is possibly on the very...
Console,
yes, on the in a very distant horizon.
Tell me more.
Well... Sorry, I need to clear my throat. Okay, so apparently Games Industry Biz, you know, one of our favorite websites to visit and pick up things from, is saying they don't believe that the big console manufacturers are going to adopt microtransactions anytime soon. And, of course, they're saying they're missing out on a market. But the highly regarded consultancy Games Investors, which said that Nintendo's social plans are a dead end. Microsoft is busy knocking back ideas for freemium content, and it's only Sony that has opened up to the microtransaction space. So they're saying that it's a pretty distant horizon, sadly apart from one of the platforms. And this is him speaking at the Game Horizon conference in Newcastle earlier today on the other side of the world, people, because I know it's still morning for some of you. He said, there are good reasons, but I'm not going to throw away some easy brickbats at people like Nintendo. While they talk about social and how their platforms are going to be improved in the online front, it's probably a dead end. And Iwata-san has very clearly said, no freemium on our platform. I agree with him. Although microtransactions do exist in a very limited form on Xbox 360, there's certainly a great resistance to freemium. He said, we've seen several announcements that have been countermanded by senior management. Leading console microtransactions at current is Sony, with 100 developers working on content and services for home for an audience of 20 million users. He also pointed to CCP's forthcoming Dust 512, which will add microtransactions on top of the release for PlayStation 3. I saw that one coming. He said the pathfinder in all this is Sony. Home is the first commercially viable hub on a console. True. Says you can use microtransactions to pay for goods and services around games and non-games and branded items, with the games market not likely to reach peaks previously seen for sales of boxed product. Format holders are missing out on a potentially huge untapped market. So there's good and bad reasons why consoles haven't yet adopted freemium or microtransactions, and there's clearly a vast and largely untapped audience waiting to play games and buy them in a different way. And of course, the Xbox Live Arcade has a network that typically converts 10 times as many players to payers. And when they start to spend, they spend heavily. Not on Xbox. The very same demographic they're saying are spending very heavily on the PC. About 65% of MMOGs live in the West today, here in our country. People, us Americans, and they rely solely on microtransactions, or not solely, but mostly. And when you can monetize that user base, the core male demographic, you're looking at somewhere between $20 and $30 of average revenue per paying user. I wouldn't go with the males on this one, guys. You might want to look at us, because I will tell you, I'm all about some virtual shoes. I have to stop myself from shopping on the Second Life Marketplace.
I know, right?
I bought 3 pairs of shoes at 3:30 this morning. These are not real shoes, people, but I dare say my Second Life shoe collection rivals my real life shoe collection. It's bad. It's bad, people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if you want to check that particular article out, it's very interesting, especially if you're on the development side. And not on the development side, how do you feel about microtransactions? You can go post it on our forums. We haven't sent you guys over there in a while. I was looking over at the forums last night. Go over and post on our forums in our news section. Tell us how you feel about this whole freemium microtransaction thing. How do you feel about it, Ginger? I'm not that...
I don't know what to think about it. On one hand, some games I don't care about because they're microtransaction stuff, the things that you're buying. Health potions, that kind of thing, doesn't bother me. You health potion out all you want, dude. I'm still going to kill you. The ones where you can buy, like, elite armor that other people can't get, that annoys me. But, no, for, like, mounts or just silly little things, hairdos, clothes, weapons that have the same stats as stuff you can get dropped but just look cooler, that doesn't bother me.
I am I must say I'm a little bit of a snob. I will say to people, I don't know why you're buying a mount, and I would never do that. By the way, I'm going to pick up these pairs of shoes over here. I am no better than the people buying the mounts. I'm just doing it in a different world. The only difference I can say, difference between doing it, say, like in WoW or Second Life is that in Second Life, I don't think it's encouraged, but you very well could sell your shoes. You could turn around and sell them to somebody else if they allow you to. The designer has the ability to stop transferring it. But if they have it transferred, you could very well sell and get some of your money back, which I've been thinking about doing a lot. But you can't – a lot of MMORPGs discourage you selling goods in-game. So I think that if – they should probably adopt that from Second Life. If you buy something, you should be able to turn around and sell it. I think that puts more value on it. And then, yes, I think the microtransaction thing works. You know, maybe somebody caught it on sale one week and the other person didn't get it. You should be able to sell it to them and say, you know, I really didn't want this. Yeah, I'll give it to you. Or, you know, give me $5 and you can have it. You know, I'm just saying, I think that would help a lot. Because right now, everybody just going out and buying them out, really not putting a whole lot of value on it.
Mm-mm.
My eyes, if everybody can get it. I think you should have like 20 of them. first 20 get it, and then you can turn around and sell it. How bad do you want this? I got 5 of them. I'm just saying. Did you? How's the weather?
The weather is flipping hot. So flipping hot. And I just, all right, there we go. I just lost what I wanted to read, but now I found it. All right. Resident Evil characters. Backing up. Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D ships to retailers across North America for Nintendo 3DS. Fan-favorite Resident Evil characters, remastered stages, and co-op gameplay deliver intense Mercenaries action on handheld platform. Capcom today announced the release of Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D for the Nintendo 3DS, utilizing 8 playable characters from Resident Evil history. It's a race against the clock as players work to defeat as many enemies as possible before their time runs out. Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D features 30 stages with memorable locations, enemies, and bosses from Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 5. The game is available both as a solo experience and as a soloable experience, or gamers across the world can team up and enjoy two-player co-op via network play. As an added bonus, a demo of the upcoming Resident Evil Revelations is also included with the game. Playable characters Chris Redfield, Krauser, Hunk, Jill Valentine, Albert Wesker, Barry Burton, and Rebecca Chambers are joined by Claire Redfield, making her debut in a Mercenaries game.
Yay!
These favorite characters, yay! These favorite characters from Resident Evil past and present face terrifying enemies such as the Executioner and Popo Karamu, along with legions of scythe-wielding cultists and infected Magini. Oh my god, brain just hit the gutter. As they fight to stay alive, taking full advantage of the Nintendo 3DS system, all characters and levels have been beautifully transformed into stunning 3D. The Nintendo 3DS touchscreen functionality allows players to switch weapons on the fly while freeing up buttons for players to walk and shoot simultaneously, a first for the Resident Evil franchise. Unlockable skills obtainable throughout the game's 30 stages allow players to customize their character to suit their style of play, With 3 skill slots available, players can choose to use skills that affect health regeneration, weapon power, aiming, and reload speeds. Oh, also extra melee attack enhancements such as the lightning charge, thunderbolt attack. Yay! All right, so Jill Valentine makes a second appearance in Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D through a playable demo of the upcoming Nintendo 3DS title Resident Evil Revelations. Set on board an ocean liner, the demo features playable character Jill Valentine exploring the ship's dark interior, killing any mysterious creatures that emerge from the shadows. A brand new title built from the ground up for the Nintendo 3DS, Resident Evil Revelations delivers outstanding visuals that bring the fear to life. All right, so the Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D carries an MSRP of $39.99 and is rated M for Mature by the ESRB.
And is up on our channel as we speak.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I just shared it for you guys on Facebook and Twitter because we are interactive like that. Hot!
Yay!
I love when we're interactive. Yay! The trailer, you got to see the trailer. This is a funny trailer. I don't want to give it away, but I will tell Ginger this. There's zombies in it. Okay.
I love me some zombies.
I know. It's zombies in it, Ginger. Go look. You can look while I do my story. You can look. Go ahead and look. Go ahead. You know you want to. Go ahead. And that is on our YouTube channel as well for those of you who are following. Quite a few of you started stalking us. Mm-hmm. We like when you do that. We love when you do that. Okay, so you guys should know. I heard about the ruling yesterday. It's not over. Yeah, there's still stuff going on. So we got to remain vigilant. But the Video Game Bar Association praises the Scottis versus Brown EMA decision. They're very excited about it. This is over from over at GamePolitics.com. They're welcoming, they issued a statement, of course, yesterday welcoming the decision of the United States Supreme Court in Brown versus EMA. The Video Game Bar Association was formed just this year to provide a community of lawyers working in the video game industry to discuss issues of common interest to all lawyers around the world. It is the very first bar association dedicated to the industry and draws members from around the world. The court's decision reaffirms that it is parents who can best decide what is appropriate content for their children. That is officially from David S. Rosenbaum, who's the president of the newly formed VGBA. He also added that the Supreme Court ruling puts to rest the notion that video games are entitled to less First Amendment protection than books, newspapers, films, and music, and other entertainment speech. The court took note that the California statute was passed in spite of numerous precedents from around the nation's federal courts holding similarly drafted statuses. I'm sorry, statutes seeking to make violence obscene unconstitutional. Rosenbaum also added hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars have been awarded in payment of legal fees in these cases. Fantastic. Leading up to the decision, with the court's ruling today, he said, we hope that we have seen the last of these regulatory exercises. He says, we're very gratified that the court took note of the demonstrable success of the ESRB system and that the industry continues to get the highest marks of compliance by a media industry segment over films, TV, and music in the annual FTC Undercover Shopper Survey, said George Rose, who's a member of the VGA board. Patrick Sweeney, executive vice president of the VGBA, said that the future of video game legislation must now the strict scrutiny test. I'm going to need y'all to rewrite that. Thank you. The court lays bare the notion that the states are better equipped to evaluate content than the independent ratings board established by the industry to provide information to parents so that they can best determine what is appropriate content for their children. While I am all excited and happy that this ruling went through, I am still mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that are watching the ESRB. I think they could do more. I need more than just secret shopping. I think you need to penalize places like Walmart. Walmart is, ironically, they didn't jump into all this because, you know, they're good about pulling games off shelves. You guys remember they pulled GTA off the shelves when they realized there was content in it that was dangerous for kids. But at the same token, I told you I've gone into my local Walmart, and it is a busy Walmart, and it is busy 24/7. There is no hour that I've been in there that there's not, you know, a large amount of people. And they do not at current, and this is just a few days ago, have up a large sign for parents saying these are the ratings for these games. I don't see it anywhere.
Yeah. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Yesterday, all right, I was at somewhere in town. I was getting my oil changed yesterday at 5 o'clock, and the news came on yesterday. And they start talking about this, of course, and you know, I'm tuning out the rest of it, but this is the one thing on the news that I'm actually paying attention to. So it comes up, and they're talking about how this is all violent games, and this is bad news for parents, and the entire time they're talking about how we should allow our children to play these games and how violent they are. What are they playing in the background? They're actually playing Grand Theft Auto. They're showing us the footage from Grand Theft Auto. And it just, it was kind of ironic and kind of annoying to me that they would sit there and talk about how we shouldn't allow our children to see this, shouldn't allow our children to play this. But it's 5 o'clock. I don't know about you, but most kids are up during the day at 5 o'clock p.m., yeah?
Yeah.
And even if you are watching the 5 o'clock news, your children are nearby. You don't want them to see this. Oh, my God, it's so horrible. But, yeah, you've got it on the 5 o'clock news.
You know, Snow made that same argument a few months ago with another game they were running the footage from during primetime TV and saying,
yeah,
oh, look how horrible this is. But you're showing it to the kids.
Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock news, and you're showing it to the kids. I don't know. It was very, very annoying to me.
I think as I'm still ESRB, again, I was one of the people instrumental in you guys starting the ESRB. I'm very proud of that fact. People were coming up with ideas. However, I think you need to step it up. Walmart, it needs to be held accountable. They need to be fined or something.
Yes.
Because I do believe it's the parents. Yeah, it's the parents that have the final say-so, but if they're not educated properly, they don't have the correct knowledge, there's no way they can know. If you've done everything you can, then at that point it is out of your hands. I'm all behind my developers and their artistic freedom, but I'm telling you, in the Walmart, I will tell you where it is, at the corner of 610 and Stella Link, or somewhere in that general area. If you guys in Houston know where that is, there is no ESRB chart. And we've already done our experiment here, and I know we keep telling you we need to get our story up. I'm probably going to go back to them again today and ask them how they feel about the ruling and what are they doing to enforce this with retailers, because I know there's nothing there. I know that Toys R Us, since we went there a year and a half ago, they have the ESRB ratings right on the shelf, right underneath the game. If you don't see it as a parent, you were not looking. You had, you know, you just didn't want to see. And another one, Target also as well has a you know how they have the little things, that the little signs that stick out, you know,
yes,
from the road. They have theirs up since we went back, since we went there. But Walmart has not corrected. Also, Big Lots is another one that sells games, and I don't think they should be, for one.
Big Lots sells games?
Yes, and there is no ESRB. There's no ESRB, period. Someone there at Big Lots pointed out to me when I was there, this was wintertime, y'all, you know, they had a yarn sale. It was on. Anyway, but I love you some yarn. Yes, got me a ton of yarn for like a dollar, like 20 yarns for a dollar. But they pointed out to me, well, most of the games we have here are rated E. That's not my point. You still have games. You need to have a chart up, period. And that's why I think the ESRB needs to really step up. I mean, we won this particular victory, but if you guys don't step it up, they're going to come after us again, and it's not going to be, you know, all peaches and gravy next time.
I'm imagining going to my local Walmart and telling them, hey, you don't have a sign up. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever noticed it. I'm actually going to have to go in. Maybe I'll do that after the show. Maybe I'll go around and check out.
Take pictures.
We have 3 super Walmarts in this itty-bitty town.
Please take pictures and send them to us, because that's what I like to send to the ESRB and say, look, and they're going to ask what location, but that's our job here. We're supposed to keep you informed and so on and so forth. And I'm all about some game activism. Walmart, I need you to bring it. ESRB, I need you to bring it. Please stop. I can't lose my games, people. I can't lose my games.
No. Don't take our games away. We need them. All right. Well, this, talking about all of this, has actually brought to mind one of the games I was reading about earlier today. And if your boss is around, I apologize for the name of this game. So you may want to turn down your speakers just a tiny little bitty bit. Just a fair warning. Indie 2D Brawler, The Ass Kickers, out on the PC and Mac. Oh, yes.
You know what? You always find these games, and she always has to say the name. It's bad. It's always bad.
I have to. I gave them a warning this time. I gave them a couple of seconds to prepare.
She does it on purpose. That's
I
my
do
word.
Do
not purpose.
Purpose,
but purpose. She does it on purpose.
Listen to your buttons. All right.
Wrong. Just wrong.
Ego Games is proud. proud to announce that their very first production, The Ass Kickers, is now out on PC and Mac and is available for download at the-asskickers.com. All right, so what do we got here? They say, are you ready to kick some ass? Oh, yes. Join Alex, Diane, and
today. It's over. It's over.
You already made me go squeaky. Mm. All right, so join Alex, Diane, and Marcus in their fun and action-packed journey through the heart of the modern urban jungle. Wrongly accused, these three original ass-kickers must stand up to... These three original ass-kickers must stand up to a corrupt society in which the only way to defend their rights and their freedom is to kick the butts of those who stand on the path of justice. All right, so we got a couple of features here. Discover an original beat-em-up in high-def 2D on the PC and Mac only. Embark on an epic ass-kicking journey through 6 levels and 3 game modes, story, survival, and time attack. Take it back from corrupt political and financial elite by literally kicking its ass. Kick ass with friend in same-screen multiplayer. Chain-up combos, special attacks, and exclusive two-player collaborative attacks in the true beat-em-up fashion. Play with 3 different characters, each with a distinctive fighting style and unique dialogues. All right, so The Ass Kickers is available now for download for $14.99 only at the-asskickers.com. Oh, it's also available in English, Spanish, Italian, German, and French.
Oh, bonjour. All right, so you lovely
people. I
wonder if it's
going to make me sexier if I listen to it in French.
Maybe. You know, I'm going to reserve comment. Okay, so you guys should probably know, you people out in L.A., if you can breathe, drag yourself down to the Anime Expo 2011. I got to stop harping on people in L.A. You know, guys, I love you. I think L.A. is beautiful from the knee up. So Square Enix is going to be hosting a Wakfu panel at Anime Expo 2011. Wakfu is a new turn-based tactical MMORPG from Square Enix, kind of in the vein of Final Fantasy. You guys remember that game?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think I've ever heard of that game.
Never heard of that game? Never?
No. What was Final Fantasy again?
That game by Square Enix. That's all I can tell you. It's a secret. Okay, so they're saying while you're there, you can, of course, experience the world of Wakfu during the nation's largest anime and manga convention. God, I can't talk today. As Square Enix producer Franco Fonseca, I like your name. I'm using it for one of my sims today. He's going to be discussing the title's many unique features and reveals the latest direction in the game's ongoing development. Anime Expo attendees will receive an exclusive screening of an episode from the upcoming Wakfu anime. In addition, a limited number of Wakfu plush toys will be given away as door prizes. How sweet. But the coup de grace, see, that's French, the coup de grace will be that fans will have the opportunity to participate in the closed beta of Wakfu by registering. Yes, this will be by registering at the link we're going to put up here in just a second. You can get a closed beta activation key. Now, the Anime Convention Center is going to be going on July the 1st, which is in 2 days, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Three days. Yeah, in 3 days, and it's going to happen at about 5:30 p.m. your time at the Los Angeles Convention Center. This is in the live programming room 1, Petrie Hall. Petrie Hall. I don't think I like that name.
Land Before Time.
Petrie.
Yeah, that's flashback.
But anyway, go and check that out. Let us know how you like it, and I will be putting up the link if you want to try the beta. We're all about giving out some beta goodies. Mm-hmm. Jen just got beta goodies.
Yes. I got some beta goodies. Love me some betas.
If you would like to beta test Ginger, just send us an email. See, she didn't catch on to that. I had to take it a step further.
No. Beta testing the Ginger. No. Now, if y'all want to bring me some pizza, we might be able to work out a deal.
Oh, we'll work for pizza? Is that what it is?
I'm cheap. What can I say? Anyway, no, guys, it's just a joke. Not really. Don't show up.
You already know with pizza. It's too late. You've already.
They're already in their cars on their way over. Oh, yes.
The emails are coming in now.
Very nice. That better be one hell of a pizza. That's all I got to say.
Damn straight.
It is my turn. Sorry. Deadly Premonition coming to Xbox Live the 5th of July. Oh, yes. Huge cult hit soon available to download from Games on Demand. Rising Star Games today announced Deadly Premonition is coming to Microsoft Xbox Live Games on demand. One of Rising Star's game success stories of 2010, Deadly Premonition developed a cult following after receiving hugely contrasting reviews from top game publications and respected reviewers. Hey, you didn't send that to us, so none of those reviews matter.
That's right. It doesn't matter if we didn't.
Yeah. Send it to us, and then we'll say. Deadly Premonition went on to be nominated for, and in some cases win, an impressive number of awards. With review scores ranging from 2 to 10, this was the game of the year that people were compelled to try for themselves. Developed by Access Games, Deadly Premonition is an open-world game set in Greenville, a secluded rural town of Northwest America, playing as FBI Special Agent Francis York. I cannot read this morning. Gamers are charged with solving the shocking, ritualistic, and brutal murder of a local girl, unraveling the mystery via clues, lies, and a trail of bodies. Agent York travels through Greenville in a variety of vehicles, entertaining gamers with facts about movies along the way, encountering eccentric natives, supernatural creatures, and a folklore killer who stalks his victims in a blood-drenched raincoat. Agent York's appearance changes in real time. Shaving, showering, and eating are essential, and this level of hygiene has consequence as it influences the townsfolk's perceptions of him. Side quests and mini games such as darts, fishing, and collecting trading cards. Oh, really? Really? Trading cards? Come on. Are also a feature. Martin DeFries, managing director at Rising Star Games, says, "Deadly Premonition is a quirky and unique title we are proud to have published. We knew there was an audience for the title, and we delivered them the game they wanted. Now Deadly Premonition is on Games On Demand, and it will give even more people a chance to marvel at this completely individual title and decide for themselves what they think of the most controversial title of 2010. Yeah. All right, so if you want to check out more, you can head over to risingstargames.com. I'm pretty sure I also got a video and some screenshots up on gamenatrix.com, so go over there and check that out. Yay, and Court either muted herself or blocked her.
I did. Okay, so lovely people out there, I want you to take note of people not to vote for because, as we always tell you, speak with your voting, not with your hacking, not with your fists. You want to speak with your votes. So make note of this name. Write it down with a big note next to it, sticky note, whatever it is you use, post-its, that says, "Do not vote for California Congressman Joe Baca." He's a Democratic Rialto, California congressman, and he has unsuccessfully sought controls on violent video games in the past, and he is very much against the SCOTUS decision. So he says he's disappointed and shocked at the Supreme Court decision to uphold the Ninth Circuit Court ruling on Brown versus EMA. He says, "I'm disappointed the multi-billion-dollar video game industry will continue to go unchecked in its ability to profit from selling heinous depictions of violence and sex to minors," Baca wrote in a statement issued Monday. "Unfortunately, the industry is not doing enough to provide parents with accurate information regarding the content of many video games," Baca said, ignoring the ESRB and the latest Federal Trade Commission report that said that the video game industry had the best record when it came to keeping mature-rated content out of the hands of children. He says, "I continue to sponsor and advocate for legislation in the House of Representatives that would mandate all video games with a rating of T or higher to be sold with a cigarette-style warning label, citing the health risk of excessive exposure to violent media." You know what? That, and that's also via Inland News today, you know, there's already a rating on it that says what's in it, the very thing he's talking about. This is where I think, you know, I know in our Constitution you have to be a certain age to be a congressman or a president. I think that you should also have an expiration date when you cease to understand the newer technology that's coming into play and you don't even take time to go read it. Mr. Baca, when's the last time you actually played a video game? Do you even know which end of the controller is up? Do you know how to operate anything on your probably very expensive phone other than how to text dirty pictures of yourselves to little boys? Really?
That was so low.
I had to go there. I am tired of politicians and people that are jumping into the middle of our community. And clearly, when they say comments like this, they have no idea what they're talking about. And it's very evident. These are the same people who wonder how President Obama won. He won because he embraced the newer generation. He got his donations from Facebook. Do you have one, Mr. Baca, or does your assistant run it? Do you know how to use Facebook? Do you know what it is? Do you know what Twitter is? I'm just curious.
He's all like, "Twitter? What's Twitter?"
A oh, this is my Twitter. No, that's not it.
No, put that back in your pants. That is not Twitter.
I would just, I really thank the ESRB, the ECA as well. Maybe the ECA can put this together. I am a chapter president. I should probably suggest this. We do need to follow in the footsteps of Gamer's Voice over in the UK and get these guys together and let them play some games one day so that you understand what it is you are trying to censor. And I'm willing to bet, Mr. Baca, in your day when Elvis or whoever it was alive, that you were on the other side of the fence, not understanding why the older people didn't understand, you know, your right to freedom of speech. It happens. Sometimes your brain switches to something when you get older, or you don't understand it, or you fear it, so then you try to get rid of it. But I hate to tell you this, good sir, we've been here for 30-some-odd years. We're not going anywhere. Neither is that newfangled rap music that you've been hearing about, not going anywhere. Those
newfangled rap music.
That rock and roll stuff, not going anywhere. We're here to stay. Sorry to disappoint you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should give up your office and go dig a hole or something. Anyway, I'm done.
Yes, go dig a hole, throw a pine wood box on it, just, yeah.
Get in it and just stay there. This evil, newfangled, computerized stuff. Oh, my God. Those birds in the sky that fly and carry people from place to place. You don't want any parts of those things.
Oh, no. Burn them. She's a witch. Oh, no.
Speaking of which, True Blood's back on. Did you watch it?
No, girl, I'm dying. I got to watch that later. Oh.
I am trying so hard not to spoil it because, you know, if you have HBO Go, they gave you an early premiere of next week. And, oh, I love you, Eric Norris.
I don't tend to pay for that kind of thing, but I may have to.
See, now that's another bit of juicy. Okay, this is kind of news. Well, this, call it from us. Remember we were talking about companies that are, you know, getting ready to start fighting? Okay, I'm going to say, you guys, I'm going to give it about 4 months. The war between the cable stations, the satellite, and HBO is now on officially as of Sunday. Sunday, if you didn't know, HBO, they did air their shows, their new shows for the season, which was mostly True Blood and I think Treme or something. But what they've done now is they've kind of broken off from the cable companies. You don't have to go to your cable company to get HBO now, those of you who don't know. You can actually pay for a subscription online at HBOGo.com. And no, they're not paying us, so I'm just telling you this because it's really good, juicy news. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. They also offered you the option, after you got done watching whichever one of your shows that you like, to be able to go to their website to get an early premiere for the week. This is not available on your on-demand service with your cable satellite provider. So this is basically taking money out of the pockets of, say, the Xfinity/Comcast/Roadrunner/Dish Network. It's very good, but it's going to be juicy because, you know, eventually HBO is going to start taking their business to things like the Roku box or maybe Xbox. I'm waiting for them to move to the Xbox and the PlayStation Network, and I'm telling you, it's coming within 6 months. And after that, I'm going to bet that Comcast is going to start fighting with HBO and say, you can't do this, we don't want you to do this, or you can get off of our network. I don't think they'll kick them off, but I think they're going to ask for some type of exclusive content to keep.
Yeah, why would they kick them off their network? Nobody would want to sign up for their network. HBO is the main draw for those things.
This is very true. HBO Stars would be the second one since they put out Spartacus. They started to draw a large audience. Showtime, nobody really wants Showtime. It's got good shows, but I'm just not. So I am interested to see what's going to happen. I do know that HBO has so many new subscribers on Sunday that the HBOGo.com crashed. As soon as True Blood was over, it crashed.
Really?
Yes, and I was trying to access it from three places just to see if it had anything to do. I tried to access it from the iPad, had a laptop, which is Wi-Fi, and then I had a hard, you know, connection here, and it would not load. As soon as that show was over, there was a mad rush to go watch, you know, on their website because that was the only place you could see it. So this is going to be really good. I'm telling you, oh, it's going to be juicy.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing after the show. Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
I'm not juicy. Oh.
And I've already read the latest book. Oh, yeah.
I haven't read the books at all. I'm waiting until the show actually ends. I don't do it. Like Harry Potter, I haven't read the books, and I'm not going to until it's over, which is.
Yeah, well, they're different enough from the actual TV show, so.
I just don't want it. It'll make me angry.
Yeah.
And I hear the books for Harry Potter are very, you know, very close to and similar, but I would rather read it after.
Oh, yes, the books for the movies. Oh, yes, Harry Potter stays very true to the story. True Blood? No. No. Not at at all. Characters are, you know, some got killed off, some of them didn't, and yeah, it's all different.
I'm waiting. When they end the show for good, I'll go pick up the book so I can go back and, you know, I can prolong my existence in that world. Anyway, we're all off the topic.
We are. But I've got a game. Somebody send me a 3DS, please. Please, for the love of Bob, send me a 3DS.
Who is Bob, and why do we need his love?
Because he is noodling this wonderment. Natsumi hooks players with the launch of Real Fishing Paradise 3D for the Nintendo 3DS. Yes, fishing. You know, people, if y'all first time tuning in, Corey and I, we love fishing games.
Virtual
fishing games. All right, so Natsumi Incorporation, a worldwide developer and publisher of family-oriented video games, announced today that Real Fishing Paradise 3D for the Nintendo 3DS is now available at retail for an MSRP of $29.99 and is rated E for everyone by the ESRB. Real Fishing Paradise 3D lets you immerse yourself in a fantastic 3D experience unlike anything you've ever seen before. This is coming from Hiro Makioa. I'm sorry if I killed your name, dude. President and CEO at Natsumi. And I apologize every time I say your name because I'm never going to get it right. But, no, I'm trying. Featuring beautiful locations and a huge variety of fish and tackle, Real Fishing Paradise 3D is the dream fishing vacation you can take with you wherever you go. Real Fishing Paradise 3D takes players to 15 stunning fishing locales in their quest to become master anglers. They'll fish tranquil lakes, rocky coast, flooded forest, and more, all rendered in eye-popping 3D that brings every leaping fish and splash of water to life. I want this. A huge variety of fish will test the experience of even the most seasoned fishing veterans, from wily largemouth bass to powerful bluefin tuna.
I don't really care what kind of fish they are. They act like I need to know what kind. I'm still going to play it.
I know, exactly. Players can choose from more than 100 pieces of tackle and three styles of fishing, lure, fly, and bait. With so much to see and do, Real Fishing Paradise 3D is a game that will have players hooked. Oh, yes, yes, it will. And I want it. I want it. Please. Pretty please. All right, so head over to GameMatrix.com. I put up some screen pics, I think, and I'm pretty sure I also put up a trailer, maybe, I think. There's a lot of trailers this morning, so I could be wrong. But anyways, head over to GameMatrix.com and check it out.
It is just about time for us to take a short respite. As we said yesterday, we're going to take us some health potion and whatnot, regenerate our mana, all that good stuff. So while we take our break, I do want to tell you, over at Geek Chic Daily, our girls over at Geek Chic Daily have an interesting interview up with Nolan Bushnell. And I know you're saying, who the hell is Nolan Bushnell? Well, he's the man that kind of helped start all this. He founded Atari. And he's kind of cute. You know, he's not a bad-looking guy, for no guy. Not bad at all. But there's an interview with him over at GeekChicDaily.com, and he's talking about what he thinks about games today, and he wants to put games in classrooms. I wholeheartedly agree. Do it. I will see you guys on the other side of our break. Ginger?
Yes?
Any requests for our going into break song? My voice is trying to leave me.
I need something that's going to make me dance.
Something dance. What might that be? Oh, yes. Remember, you can find this news and other news at our website, GamerNateChicks.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. You know, we're everywhere. We're like Legion. We're many.
Come at the neck, disrespect us, no, they won't. Boy, don't even try to touch me.
Now, I will say this. I'm very excited about this song because I see that she did a performance on the ET Awards. I'm going to be watching that sometime today. And try not to dance while I'm watching it.
I'll be like, good God, how does she move like that?
All Texas girls can move like that.
I'm a Texas girl and I can't move like that.
You just need me to help you. That's it. You don't know you can move like that.
Something somewhere I missed out on something. Oh yes.
When we pick Ginger up for PAX, then it's only gonna take 5 minutes. After that, you're gonna be good to go. All Texas girls. Let me tell you, there's a group of us in the country. No offense to our northern sisters. Some of you in New York, you know, you got a little rhythm. But all us Southern girls, California, you're not included either. Us Florida, all these states, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, down into Mexico, we all got the action. Sometimes you don't know you have it yet, so we just have to get Ginger in there and show her the movement.
Something.
Yes, about 5 minutes it's going to take because it's just natural for you. Now, I'm going to tell you other girls at PAX, sorry, do not come up to me and ask me for lessons. Sorry.
You're not Ginger. Na, 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 na.
That's right. And I will not be responsible if I do teach you for what happens when you get home, the dishes and all that kind of business. Mm-mm, not responsible because it will happen. I'm pregnant and it's your fault. Mm-mm, I told you not to watch. Do not look directly into the hips, people. All right.
Don't look directly into the hips. That is hot.
I am so out of order.
You are so out of order. That is odd. That is awesome.
All day, every day. Well, they're saying the BBC could be the perfect ambassador for the UK industry. BBC, I love BBC. I think I watched BBC America like most of the weekend this past weekend. I didn't even know I had that channel, but I love it. I love it. They do such an excellent job of how they talk to us Americans in languages we understand. You know, we're odd, us Americans, from the rest of the world. We like to think we're special. We're just kind of odd. BBC Worldwide EVP Robert Nashak has said that the broadcaster is actively looking for how it can use the BBC brand to champion the cause of UK games development. You guys don't need any help. Y'all got your stuff together, really. Speaking with Eidos Life President Ian Livingstone during the Game Horizon Conference in Newcastle earlier today, on the other side of the world, people, Nashak said that the corporation is open to suggestions about how it can work closer with the independent developer community and help promote the UK scene to the worldwide audience. He says, we're super interested in that. We are the perfect ambassador for the indie game development community in the UK and around the world. So we're looking at ways to do that. Imagine the BBC for the games world represents the best and the brightest from all the UK and promotes the industry and the good contribution they make. BBC Worldwide currently works with independent games developers on a number of educational and entertainment branded titles for online and mobile formats. One of the companies called Reloaded told GamesIndustry.biz that it hopes to convince broadcasters and educators to think more as a publishing company rather than a brand licensor, in turn helping the independent and social games scene grow. He says that can work for brands and educators, and we feel we've done it pretty successful on Channel 4 Education. I like how he promoted the channel. He says, and we're also working with a couple of other clients trying to do the same thing. That's from Preloaded, Phil Stewart. You can pop over to gamesindustry.com and read the rest of this article. They are saying that they do have some games portals. I do want to mention this via iTunes, just like we are, or Xbox. So you might want to pop over, check out the story, see some of the games coming out of the UK. And I do think BBC has an excellent chance of getting involved in the industry. But as one student is saying here, and he's from the UK, is that they don't have a gaming show yet. And maybe they should start there. Or why don't you take on G4 because they're not doing such a great job. Spike TV is not sure what the hell they want to be. They keep trying to do games and then have all these reruns of Star Trek or something. Both of them are guilty of that. So maybe, BBC, you could show them how it's done. You guys seem to have your stuff together over there. You UK people that listen, pass this along to your people. Tell them we'll watch. BBC puts on a show. You put us a hot English boy in front of us. I will never leave that channel. I will watch
all
day. That
is true. Oh, my God. Just for that accent.
Yes, all day, every day. You could just be talking about Farmville, and I would just be staring right into your little face. Just, oh, God. Say it slow, little English boy. Say it slow.
All right.
Go ahead. And then anyways, I got one that's going to be interesting that's not so great. I hate to say it. Okay, but go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm pulling this from Yahoo Tech Section. Looks like they pulled it from Forbes, who pulled it from Mobile Idiot Staff. Oh, yes. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Angry Birds movie picks up steam.
No. No.
Yes, yes.
No.
Rovio's Angry Birds will be flying to the big screen as the mobile gaming sensation tackles the latest entertainment venue in its seemingly inexhaustible pursuit of new ventures. Former Marvel Studios executive David Mazel, which joined Rovio as a special advisor, is expected to be the executive producer of future Angry Birds films. All right, so Mazel says Rovio has already had amazing success and established a great brand with Angry Birds. The business models, intellectual properties, and franchise potential of Angry Birds give Rovio the most exciting prospects I have seen in the entertainment business since Marvel in 2003. Marvel Studios and Mazel are responsible for bringing the successful Iron Man series to the big screen, and Mazel led the sale of Marvel Entertainment to Disney just last year. Writers are already working on a script for a full-length film that would develop the game's backstory. Rovio has been in talks with major studios and are carefully considering their foray into movies as they attempt to parlay the game into a true entertainment brand. The company is set at a precipice with Angry Birds, where it must keep the title alive with merchandising and new additions in order to sustain interest in a future film. But it must also develop other hit games to prove it has legs beyond what is becoming its main franchise. Expanding its franchise is no small feat as well, especially for a title that began on the mobile platform. Rovio CEO Michael Head said that he has studied other gaming concepts that moved to the big screen, and he has some ideas on how to translate this game about vengeful birds and greedy pigs to the movie platform. In addition, the game, the company's acquisition of Finnish animation studio Combo, and news of its recent grant award from the Finnish Film Foundation signal the seriousness of this venture.
I cannot believe that.
So it looks like The Birds, which has racked up more than 250 million downloads, and are just about everywhere from plush toys and bedding to board games and cookbooks. And
what?
Now they're going to be on our TV.
You know what? Sometimes you just need to say stop to yourself. No.
Oh, wow. Angry Birds. What kind of movie is that going to be even?
I don't even want to see it. You just lost me.
I'm taking
the left turn at Albuquerque, people. No, I cannot do this. I love Angry Birds. I will sit and play. I have downloaded it. There's like 15 versions on the iPad here. I got one on the phone. I got two or three versions on the PC. It's fun. Okay, I will not lie to you. But do I want to sit through a two-hour movie? No.
No, no. About birds that are pooping on pigs? No, no.
No.
That was a different one.
Yeah, that's a different one.
My bad.
That's the pigeon drop one that we were talking
about. That's pigeon drop.
And see, this one, you're attacking
birds.
Yeah, angry attacking birds, attacking pigs. And I would even be inclined to pick up a plush toy or two because the kids in my family, I wasn't with them Saturday, but I got a call, and all I heard was laughing and, you know, noises that they were imitating the birds. Are you coming? No, I'm not coming just because you're doing that. But somebody's birthday. Happy birthday to my cousin anyway. It's around 15. I wouldn't take them to a movie. It's not fun. Stop. Stop. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. Molyneux, I'm sharing your pain. He's been speaking to the people over at Gamma Sutra in an interview saying he's pretty ashamed at the Fable 3 review scores. And you should be.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked how he felt about Fable 3 failing to reach the critical and commercial goals of the 5 billion units sold that he had originally set out for it, and the veteran designer began lamenting the short development period, which at less than 2 years was the shortest ever for them. He said the game came together very late. That's one of the things that we're changing. That is just an old school way of working. He said, that being said, I still think it was a good game. I just don't think it was a great game that took us up to 5 million units. I know I probably should say it's a great game, just irrespective of whatever it was, but the Metacritic score was in the sort of low 80s. Metacritic is not the defining and be-all, but I do have to agree, you could have done a little better. He says, I think I'm pretty ashamed of that, to be honest, and I take that on my own shoulders, not the team's shoulders. That being said, Fable still sold millions and millions of units, and it's probably going to net out with the PC version closer to 5 million units than he might have thought. But it's not the dream, of course. He said it didn't end up being the game that he dreamed it would be because he thought the mechanic of the ruling section were really good ideas. I thought they were good ideas. We just didn't have time to exploit those ideas fully. You had time. You could have just pulled it back. We would have been angry, but I would have. If you'd give me a good game, I'd have been like, it was worth it. It was worth
yes,
it.
Yes, developers, please, 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 please. If you know you need to pull your game back and wait a couple of weeks while you work on something, please do that. I'd much rather you do that than you sell me a game that doesn't work, isn't fun, and that once I play for a little bit and find out that I don't like it, you're probably not going to get me to come back once you fix the issue.
Yeah, or I'm not going to come back when you make the next
exactly
franchise. I'll just leave it all together. Because I will tell you, I left, as much as you hear me talk about how much I love GTA, after the first one, when I played the next one, I left. Because it was nothing like the original. It didn't have any of the same anything. I left until GTA 4 is when I came back. I think I played 3 for a little bit, and I said, they're getting better, but I wasn't completely sold. But 4, they got me back. I'm waiting for GTA 5. I'm looking forward to it, and it better be good. And amazingly enough, GTA 4 is a lot like the original, not the top-down view, of course. Some of you are like, no, it's not. It is the way that the missions come up. So that's why I came back. So Fable, I actually left Fable. You guys have heard us talk about this on the show quite a few times. Those of you who are newer to us, I actually led the charge of telling women to take Fable 1 back to the store because there was no playable female character. My whole thing about the commercial where they're like, be whoever you want to be except a woman. So I led the charge of telling women to take it back to the store. We're not playing this until you put a girl in there. Fable 2 came. We got a girl. They got me back. I get to Fable 3, you had some good elements. I love the simulator where you get to run the kingdom and you got to keep up with the finances. Nice touch. But I think the war thing should have just lasted, should have just stayed. You should just been constantly fighting up until, I don't like the peaceful period. Those of you who've played it know what I'm talking about. There was a big war, and then after the war was over, it's like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And it was a short war. I think it took me 10 minutes to finish. You know, you run through the town, I kill off the bad guys, and it's over. I wanted, me being the castle, I got to defend the chair, and I'm the queen. I need to do something. I got this big old sword. I got these pretty big wings, and I can do all this cool stuff. I want to be able to continue to do it. That's not fun. So
no, that's not fun at all.
So, Peter, I agree with you. It's a little disappointing. I was hoping that maybe you had some DLC for us, but I haven't heard anything yet, and I'll buy the DLC, but whatever. Anyway. Oh, girl, it's almost time for us to go. I think we got a few minutes to squeeze another one in if you want to do. Yeah, we got about 2 minutes. Got one more in ya?
I have a very short one, yes. Hearts of Iron 3 for the Motherland release.
Woo-hoo!
The latest expansion to the Grand Strategy Epic released today, along with brand new gameplay trailer, which I put up on our website, GameMatrix.com.
Woo!
Paradox Interactive, who we love, have today released Hearts of Iron 3 for the Motherland, the second expansion for their PC-exclusive grand strategy, Epic Hearts of Iron 3, with a recommended retail price of $19.99. Set between the years of 1936 and 1948, Hearts of Iron 3 for the Motherland lets you take charge or delegate at any level from a single military division up to an entire nation across a wide variety of scenarios. Wage war on the battlefields of Europe in the factories of the industrial superpowers, as well as the negotiating table in the deepest of all World War II strategy games. The brand new release trailer can be viewed over at GameMatrix.com. I'm not sending you their link, because go over to GameMatrix.com. Go. Hearts of Iron 3 for the Motherland is a digital download-only release and requires both Hearts of Iron 3 and its first expansion, Simplify, to play. All right, so we've got a couple of key features. War goals and enforced peace. Each member of a faction can demand their own slice and claim it when it is taken. New partisan system. Build partisan undergrounds to organize your resistance movements and battle not just the occupier, but also other ideologies for control of the country. Seize strategic resources to fuel your war machine. New theater interface giving greater strategic information. Improved internal politics and a new coup system. Coup system?
Yeah.
Coup, my bad. I was like, wait a minute, coup, that's a car. New coup system. The return of the battle scenario system to offer new mini-game campaigns. All right, so if you want more information on Hearts of Iron 3 for the Motherland, you can visit the official website, which it's apparently not going to show for me. Here we go, heartsofirongame.com.
All right, and that's going to do it for us today. I want to send out a special song to someone special out there. This is Crash in the Voice. We hate you. Please die.
Very nice.
You know where to find us, people.
Find us. enter. Later, boys and girls.